8 o'clock hour, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Kristen Ocero, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. The Character Concerns Draft Special rolls on.
Brought to you by Salvation's Army, down for the challenge. Register today to rappel down GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com.
And as far as wide receivers are concerned, we saw seven last year go in the first round. Ties a record from 2004, the most receivers draft. And there's been a lot of talk about receivers this year. Obviously, Luther Burden was the guy that I considered number one going into the year. Tetterell McMillan, with his size, kind of changed my mind as far as him. And he's often looked upon as the first receiver, maybe not the best receiver. Then there's Matthew Golden, who kind of, a lot of people went back and watched his film because it was kind of between him and Isaiah Bond, who kind of took over at Texas, who was going to be the guy. Matthew Golden, you know, transfers in from Houston. Isaiah Bond from Alabama, who was going to be the guy. Gunnar Helm actually dominated tight end with Texas last year, but clearly, you know, a team that that did well last year, obviously. But so you have him there, Emeka Buka, that I've liked for a long time from Ohio State. But again, it's that Ohio State guy. Again, Burden and Igbuka, more slot receivers. The other's more boundary as far as Tate and what you'd see from Tetterell McMillan.
I get the talk. Like, Matthew Golden's, his draft stock has exploded since the combine.
The 4.29 just
it
been there, but you got to be careful with that.
And that's my thing about him. I feel like he's a guy that, because of his 40 time, he exploded. He was not a guy that we were talking about as high as we were until after the combine. Like, you did not hear anybody say he was the number one receiver in this draft class at all until he ran a 4.29 at the combine. That's the thing that concerns me about him. I've said this before on our podcast. I'll say it again here. I do not think I would take him at 31 if he fell there. I would not touch him, because to me, the only reason why he even got in that conversation for being the top receiver was because of the 40 time. That's it. There was nothing on film that you saw before that that was like, he's better than Tetterell McMillan, he's better than Luther Burden. None of it. And that, to me, is very, very scary.
His yards per catch were impressive, though. The 17 yards per catch, the 9 touchdowns, impressive. As I said, Gunnar Helm actually led that team.
Gunnar Helm was
receptions
he was
from tight end.
That's what I'm saying. I was more impressed with Gunnar Helm in the offense. I will say this: he did a better job than Isaiah Bond, but Bond also was hurt for much of the year. But I mean, to me, he just never jumped off the screen as an elite receiver. When I watched Texas games, I watched all of them because I was watching Isaiah Bond and Gunnar Helm, and like they had a ton of Texas had a lot of guys to watch this past year. But Golden was just, to me, he was a very consistent guy when they got the ball in his hands, but it wasn't like he was running a bunch of complex routes. Like, he didn't jump off the screen to me the way that Xavier Worthy did in 23. Where Worthy, you see him and he's like, oh my God, this is an incredible athlete. This is a guy that I think is going to have a place in the NFL.
He did stand out against Arizona State, though, in the College Bowl playoffs, right? Ran 149.
But that's one game. And the rest of the time, he was just kind of like, he would make plays. You know, they get him the ball in short situations, screens, in slants, et cetera. And he would get yards after the catch. But like, never at any point did I look at him as a route technician. Never did I look at him as like, this is a guy that you can put against a corner and he's going to beat that guy with his route running. I don't feel that from him.
And I still really like, out of the slot, Luther Burden. I know that maybe a more productive year the year before. What was more productive year the year before than this year? Didn't have the nagging injuries, though, that you had the year before in 23, where you'd see him come out of the game and you'd be searching Twitter. Is he coming back in the game or not? This year, no, but the production was down. But I think a lot of times you have to go by what the quarterback is doing at Missouri as well. I like Luther Burden a ton, and he was all combine team. So he was a very good receiver at the combine. He tested extremely well. Matt Miller, who we had played earlier, extremely likes Luther Burden. And Steve Smith, who played in a little bit, he rates receivers, obviously, former receiver. He goes to a lot of the pro days and everything else. I think his evaluations are very good. Loves Luther Burden in the slot.
I think he's very underrated. He's a guy that is very explosive after the catch. There's been some comps to Deebo Samuel and whatnot. I don't think he's quite Deebo. He's not that power. He's not like a power back with the ball in his hands. He reminds me of Jamar Chase after the catch. Like, Jamar's one of those guys that, like, one makes one guy miss and he goes.
Silky smooth and gone.
Very, yeah, just very smooth with the way that he runs after the catch. That's how I view Burden. I think Burden's one of those guys that, yeah, like, you put him in the slot, simple, easy route, catches it, and then just he glides through the defense because he's got good speed, good agility, and he's very good at making guys miss. I didn't like the usage that he had at Mizzou last year. I thought his usage was much better when he played in 23. In 24, it was almost like they were using him more like Deebo was used in San Francisco, and I didn't like it. Because, like, I went to Mizzou, Florida in Columbia in 23, and I remember coming out of the game like, okay, Luther Burden is going to be the top. Like, I told you, yeah. we did the Character Concerns podcast that Monday, and I was like, Luther Burden is the best receiver in the 25.
If he's
draft.
There at 31, I take him. I know we talk about defense, but I know what receivers.
And I will pound the table on April 24th. I will pound it. If he's sitting there at 31, I will pound the table for Luther Burden. Because I think that he is a guy that has a chance to get this offense back to what it was when they had that explosiveness there. Because I think he is a home run hitter type wide receiver. And you have him, you have Worthy, you have Rashi. All of a sudden now it changes things up. And Hollywood too. Because you got a couple of home run hitters in Worthy and Hollywood. And then you got two guys that underneath I think are going to be very, very difficult for defenses to tackle because of, you know, Rashi's very, very big and he's kind of like a running back. And then Luther is very smooth and very good at making guys miss. You add him to this offense, all of a sudden I think you get that explosive home run hitting ability that they've been missing.
And then one thing about it too is, again, last year, you know, Rice is off to a good season, gets hurt in Los Angeles against the Chargers, and he's gone for the year. And then, of course, Hollywood Brown got hurt in the first preseason game against Jacksonville, and he's basically gone. So you miss two receivers. It's no guarantee guys are going to be healthy all year. And with Rice, we don't know about the suspension. And again, you're going to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes one time in your lifetime. Might as well give him weapons to throw to. Steve Smith, former NFL wide receiver that breaks down receivers. I think he does a very good job. He's really high on Cooper Kupp a couple of years ago. His best receiver coming out, does a great job. He and James Palmer of formerly of NFL Network, does a podcast, an 89 podcast for Steve Smith on Underdog Fantasy, and they discussed Luther Burden. He actually had him listed at his second best receiver, to be honest with you, on Steve Smith's list, but he moved him to four because of being in a slot, but he absolutely loves Luther Burden. Here's his kind of his breakdown on Luther.
All right, so then the fourth guy on your list is Luther Burden out of Missouri. I've talked to people, Steve, this could be a second-round pick. Am I accurate on that? That has been...
With Burton?
Yeah.
Nah, I think because he's a slot, because he's fast, we turn him on the field, they did a great job of forcing the football to him. And I say force because I believe that Theo was kind of alienated out
Talk
of the offense
Theo
at times. He was not given the same equal opportunities of the routes, mm-hmm. right? In an offense, a slot receiver and an outside receiver generally run different types of routes.
Yep.
But then you also see a guy that may be on the outside that gets an opportunity. Theo never got really an opportunity to run in the inside as much because Luther was just such a dynamic player and he was really good. He can get out, he can run. He was more of screens, intermediate, up the middle of the field, mismatch, outrun the linebackers. Theo was really a crosser, deep threat. Not really given the same equal opportunity as Luther. So that's where I think some teams who are looking for a slot, but also looking for a contributor early will use them in the first round because if you wait till the second round, that's the type of thing where some teams will start talking to other teams as soon as the first round over. And when the second round starts the next day, they're going to be moving up to get a kid like that. So I would imagine he's probably going to go where someone's going to move up and get rid of their second to move up in the first mm-hmm. to solidify getting their guy that they want.
Okay. I like that because I think we're getting into this group, and I can't wait to say this sentence that was given to me by a national scout. There's a couple of guys I like at the top, and then we have a, quote, chunky middle Whatever that means, Steve, right? I was like, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
That's a bad body, right? Is that a dad bod?
I don't think he's talking about the physical build of these guys and they're like Chunk from Goonies. He's talking about there's a bulk of receivers that are kind of in this group, like you said, where I think you mentioned after Luther Burden, there could be a variety of guys going off the board. Like there's this there's this heavy group after those top four that could be
See, and I'm with him on that because, you know, you look at maybe four receivers that could be game changers, McMillan, Burden, Igbuka, and Golden. I'd put Burden up there at number two at this point, although there's some concerns on McMillan. Definitely Steve Smith broke down a lot about McMillan, has production this year much better. He's kind of absent the year before, but then there's this huge gap, and I agree with that. There's a big gap between your Jaden Higgins and your Trey Harris and your Alec Amanor from Stanford that you like, or Jack Besh. That could be a steal out of TCU.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Iomanor fan. The only problem that he had was he played for Stanford. Stanford didn't have a great quarterback. Stanford didn't have a great offensive line. But you watch him, just him on film, like he's a very good route runner, very smart. He's big. He's got good wheels on him. He was a, 4.41, I think, at the combine. So you'll take that at his size. He's a guy. The only issue is, you're probably going to – he's probably, like, at worst, mid-second round, I think. And I just – at 31, I don't quite feel comfortable. I know for a while I was kind of on board with it. I'm kind of backing off that now because defensive tackle seems to me to be a bigger need. But, yeah, if Burden's there at 31, I could not stress enough. You got to take a guy like him.
But it'll be it's a talented enough guy where someone possibly would trade back into it. We're not going to have that quarterback to be traded back in for.
It wouldn't shock me if someone tried to get in front of the Chiefs to take him. Someone tried to move back up and take him in front of the Chiefs just because you don't want someone like that getting passes from Patrick Mahomes, you know, like you add him to that offense. You already got Rashi and you already got Xavier Worthy and you add in him. And I mean, that would be one of the guys you could look at as a catalyst for this great offensive run over the next few years.
But I look at like Jack Besh, Isaiah Bond, Jalen Royals. I look at a lot of these guys, Taj Felton, Torrey Horton was a guy I really liked.
Yeah.
Even going back to last year, he ran like a 4.41 at the combine. Right. He, you know, taller receivers, over 6 foot, undersized a little bit as far as weight is concerned.
Right.
I'd be concerned about that. But, you know, Jaden Higgins out of Ohio State is definitely someone to pay attention to in the at least the third round area because he's 6'4", about 217 pounds.
I don't think he'd be – I don't think the Chiefs would be interested in someone like him. One guy, though, that does interest me, his teammate, Jalen Noel.
Kansas City kid.
Park Hill. That's a guy I would look at. I think he'd make a great slot receiver. Very smart. He's got some decent speed to him as well. He's not one of those guys that's, you know, going to route you up, but he is a very, very smart receiver. Very good athlete. I think it was it 4.44 40. I think
4.41
4.41 40. So good 40 speed, but you know, not one of those guys is going to kill you with this route running.
And Alec is a guy you even liked last year in the 24 draft, but he decided to go back to Stanford.
Yeah. I actually know he wasn't eligible to go. So I think he was a sophomore.
Yeah, he was. We had one more year to go.
Yeah, he had one more year to go. I talked a lot about him for the 25 draft because he was very productive as a sophomore at Stanford. But, you know, this past year, I thought he put good tape out there. His only issue was that he played at Stanford. If he would have played at a Power 4 school, at one of the big Power 4 schools, I think he would be much higher.
Yeah, he's just a junior, but 6'2".
Yeah.
Over 210 pounds.
Yeah. 6'2" and 4.4 speed. Like you'll take that with that size, you'll take that. Like anything under 4.5 when you're like over 6 feet, over 200 pounds, you'll take that from a guy there.
Yeah, so I like him a lot. So we'll take a timeout and we come back. I do want to talk about just some general draft news, some general draft talk. Obviously, we've had the combine. We got a lot of the pro days going on at this point. Do you trust the pro days or not? Some guys aren't even running in their, quote, pro days like Genty. Also, Travis Hunter. There's a lot of teams that might pass on him, and I think a generational talent that they're going to be passing on. Like I looked at Jalen Carter a few years ago. We'll discuss that stuff next.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, Character Concerns Podcast. Julio Sanchez producing the operation.
Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now and shoot off. Apply now to shoot off large scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com.
And as far as our general draft questions, we'll move into some of your questions and comments. Feel free to call us at 913-586-7965 at the 8:30 time slot. But right now, it was a debate. I go on Wednesday mornings with Bob and Dusty.
Yeah, I hear you. I usually it's you go on during my drive in.
Okay, well,
in my
day job. So I usually the questions brought about Abdul Carter.
Yeah,
and listen, Abdul Carter, the Micah Parsons comparisons are coming out about Abdul Carter. But here's the thing: a lot of people got to go to Abdul Carter. Not a lot of people watched Abdul Carter last year. And I've asked a lot of people, is he playing the left side or right side? He could play both, but he apparently played
he's
against
primarily
the left tackle.
He's primarily a right side, yeah.
He played the right side against the left tackle. I like Travis Hunter. This guy was defensive player of the year. Saw plenty of times. I pretty much watched all of his games. The guy was incredible defensively, whether it was a pick, whether it was making a game-changing fumble like he did against UCF. He got the Blitnikoff Award as the best receiver on offense, won the Heisman. He's a generational talent. And, okay, I know Myles Garrett's coming back for Cleveland. They brought in Abdul Carter. They have some bookends there that are deadly with Garrett, and that could really shore up that pass rush for Cleveland. But, again, who are they going to throw to? The talk is Kirk Cousins. There's talk with Kirk Cousins going to Cleveland. I don't think he wants to because I don't think they want to pick up that contract. I know Atlanta's going to have to pick up some of it. But, again, who are they going to throw to? That's the big question for Cleveland. I just think that Travis Hunter's generational talent – I like Josh Edwards would pick him second over Abdul Carter.
So the question to me depends on the usage. If you're going to use him as a corner, I would take Abdul Carter. If you're going to use him as a receiver, I would take Travis Hunter.
I think they're going to use him as both.
I would not use him as both. I think that's a terrible decision.
But it's what he wants to do. It's what he led college football by over 120 snaps.
I do not care what he wants to do. I would want to do what's best for my team. And I think you are making a mistake if you allow him to play on both sides for two reasons. One, you only have so many snaps in your body before your body breaks down in the NFL.
This would not be a permanent thing. Let's put it that way.
I wouldn't do it at all because I don't want to put that kind of mileage on his body. Second off, it's hard to prepare one position. Now you got to go to two different types of team meetings. Two different, you got to be in two different types of preparation.
Oh, it's unprecedented.
But that's the thing, though. I don't think he can do it at a high level.
Unless he was cornerback one, but yet had a significant package role on offense.
And here's the thing, if you do that, I think you're wasting him because I think he's a much better receiver than he is a corner.
And he can return.
I don't think that you're, like, to me, if you're going to use him in that, the way you just described, as a corner with some offensive plays, like the Cowboys use Deion Sanders, I think you're wasting his talent.
And by the way, their pro day is tomorrow in Colorado. We'll see what he actually does.
I think, like I said, I think he would be wasting his talent. And I think at that point, you might as well just take Abdul Carter because I think he'll be better at that in that role. But if you want to use him as a receiver, use him as a receiver only, and then I would absolutely take him over Abdul Carter.
But his skill set of receiver is insane. I mean, the way he creates separation, his hands, everything about him, tremendous way. That's why he won the Blitnikoff Award as the top receiver in the country.
I've said this before. If he just came in as a receiver in this draft class, he's wide receiver one to me. That's not even debatable. Like, you can't say, like, I'm not entertaining Teteroa McMillan over him as a receiver. He's a better route runner. He's better at the catch point. I think he has such great ability as a wide receiver that I think it's a waste for him to play corner.
When he's a gamer.
I don't think he's going to be a bad corner.
It's a game. He absolutely loves the game of football.
Yeah.
And that's why he played every single play at Colorado. He'll play hurt. He'll play anything.
Yeah.
He's an absolute gamer.
And that's why you got to save him from himself.
Football.
And that's the reason why you have to pick a position for him. That's the reason why I think You tell them, hey, you're a wide receiver. That's what you are. Maybe we'll use you on some late down situations or like Hail Mary situations. You can come in and play a little corner, but you are a wide receiver one. And that's how I would use him. I think he has like Devontae Adams level comparisons as far as receiver goes. I think he'd be excellent as a wide receiver.
And the one thing is, Cleveland, if they're looking into the marketing aspect, you can definitely market him better than you can Abdul Carter.
Yeah, you can because the Heisman Trophy winner and all that.
But you can market him better if you're Cleveland.
But if Abdul Carter turns out to be a great player, I mean, you can still do that too.
But there was the injury concerns and stuff at the combine and everything because he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, but like you could again, Abdul's a very good. The one problem with Abdul is that he has like one pass rush move, but he's still a great pass rusher.
No, he is. But Travis Hunter to me is a generational talent that I think you'll go back and regret, just like Jalen Carter a few years ago when the Eagles picked him ninth.
I don't like to
because the character concerns.
I don't like to guarantee players being great. I don't like it.
Well, the one thing too is the combine has definitely changed. It used to be the ultimate way you could evaluate players, talent evaluation. Players did everything. They do the vertical, the broad, the bench press, the run. They do everything. And lately, we've seen them scale back on that to where a lot of guys, well, you have a lot of the mid-round guys, they will run because they want to impress and move up draft slots. And then there's on the other end, Xavier Restrepo, who's the all-time leading receiver at Miami in catches and yards. And by the way, they've had some good receivers at Miami. But he goes out and runs in the 4.7s and a 4.83 at his pro day, which didn't benefit him at all. But to be honest with you, I guess it's good for NFL teams to kind of know the kind of speed they'd be looking at.
He shouldn't have done that. He should not have ran.
But it's better than buyer beware for an NFL team grabbing him saying,
I don't care about what it is from the team standpoint. From his standpoint, he should not have run. That was a massive. Like, he might fall out of the second round. He was, I think, a surefire mid-second round.
I don't think he's a starter at this point because of his speed.
No. Like, he's not a guy you're, like, unless he is just that good of a route runner.
I mean, Puka didn't have outstanding speed, but he was 4.56 at least. Yeah,
he was 4.56. Yeah, like
4.56 and Restrepo goes in the second round.
100%. I don't think it was a good decision for Restrepo. Like,
he cost himself.
And look, I'll say this. I understand from a team standpoint, hey, we want to know everything about you. As a player, you're not inclined to give every piece of information about yourself.
Well, Steve Smith on that podcast, he was talking about Marvin Harrison the year before. Remember, he didn't run at all in the pro day and at the combine. Evidently, from what he was told, he was told by the teams not to do it. Your team speaks for itself. So the teams basically told him not to do it.
It's the same thing with Shador, and Ryan Shador didn't throw.
And we'll find out tomorrow if he does at all on his pro day tomorrow at Colorado.
I don't think he's going to run.
Which Colorado did that whole Big 12 combine thing, but they're still doing their own. But Austin Jeanty, he didn't run at the combine. He didn't run his pro day. The only thing he did was run through pylons.
And Austin Jeanty didn't run because he's also not that fast. Like, I guarantee you, his people were like, yeah, you're probably not going to be – you're probably not going to kill it on your – don't run. Like, I guarantee – like, there's a reason why these guys don't do certain things. There's a reason why Josh Connerly Jr. didn't do the bench press at the combine.
The bottom line is, that strong. It is getting tougher to evaluate the personnel for NFL teams because – not only that, your pro days, like the LSU and Ohio State was the same day. So you're seeing your talent being split around, split to different places, and then guys are sometimes doing the drills, they're not. Shador Sanders, there was talk he was going to throw at the Big 12 combine because they had all the schools down there, Big 12. He opted not to. The Colorado pro day, again, is tomorrow.
I'd be surprised if he threw.
It's probably going to be like LeJonte Wester and all those guys.
I believe that Shador has probably already gotten some assurances that he's going to go in the top 10.
And I doubt, Travis Hunter might run knowing him. Who knows? If he's confident, he'll do it. But right now he's looking at number two or three, at most fourth.
I don't think he's running. He's going to get drafted in the top five. What does he need to run for?
It's getting tougher. Jim Nagy that ran the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He's gone now, man. He was great at that talent evaluation and getting guys. Was. He's the general manager for Oklahoma football now. Right. So he's out of the Senior Bowl now because they're getting less and less talent at the later parts of the rounds. Even Brett Veach last year talked about rounds 5 through 7 not being as deep as it's been in the past because name, image, and likeness, guys are staying in school longer.
Yeah.
They're all ready for the pros, to be honest with you.
I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. If you know you got a weakness and you know how finicky some of these teams are with how they judge players, they see one number and they either fall in love with it or they immediately hate you for it. Like, don't even give them a reason. Make them guess. Make them watch the tape even more, because you should always make it so that your tape is the thing that you can stand on more than these ancillary numbers. That's the reason why Restrepo should have never ran the 40, because he's like, my tape speaks for itself. If you like me, you'll take me in the second
and
round.
And Keon Coleman shouldn't have ran at the combine. Hell because no. He was the slowest.
Because he was so slow. I was like, what are you doing,
he
Keon?
He didn't run the gauntlet, though, like Puka did the year before, where we turn around and make catches. He ran the gauntlet better than any other wide receiver.
Right, but yeah, his get-off is really terrible. That's the reason why his 40 time is so bad.
J. Southland Tow Service, 913-586-7965. Also, the phone number as well, 913-586-7965. We'll address some of your questions and concerns via the phone line or the text line when we come back.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, from Character Concerns, the Character Concerns Draft Special. Back again next Thursday night with our dude, Julio Sanchez, producing the operation. Matt McMullen, the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs.com, joins us next Thursday.
Brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC at PowellExteriors.com.
From the text line, 913-586-7965, J Southland Tow Service text line. Got this a few times. What do you guys think about James Pierce Jr.? I'll say this. James Pierce, a lot of times the mocks that did come out today, a lot of times he was top 15, top 20 type guy. As a matter of fact, Fox Sports had him at number 15. CBS with Chris Trapasso had him number 32, actually. The Athletic at 29. Pro Football Network at 16. Walter Football at 27. Those are mock drafts that came out today. USA Today yesterday had him at number 16. NFL Spin Zone had him at 23. I like James Pierce Jr. He started to fall a little bit early on. He was definitely considered one of the better edges to begin with, but I've always been a fan of James Pierce Jr. I don't have a problem with him. I'm not buying any of the quote concerns, put it that way.
I don't think he's a fit for the Chiefs.
4.47 speed, by the way,
right,
his size.
Right. My issue is this. Spags likes power rushers, guys that can go that are straight power or speed to power. He's not a very powerful edge rusher. He's a speed guy. He's a guy that is going to try to beat you off the edge and get to the quarterback that way. And like, you hear some people, oh, he's got, you know, decent speed to power. And it's like, no, he's not a great power.
Seven sacks last year, 10 the year before.
Right. Like, I don't think he's a fit for what Spags is looking for. He's undersized. You know, he played it in the 240 range. Spags generally likes guys to be at least 250. I mean, when they drafted B.J. Thompson a couple years ago at a Stephen F. Austin, they were like, he's too small. He was 240. He had actually gained 20 pounds from what he played at, and they said he was too small at 240. So, I mean, he would have to gain weight, and I just don't think that would really kind of jive with his skill set.
He's got a 6'5 frame. We'll slow him down. He's a 4.47 guy at this point, about 245 pounds. He's got a high ceiling. I mean, it's one of the better edge rushers. I mean, there's a lot of people that consider it Carter and then him.
I think he's a good edge rusher. I just don't think he's a fit for what Spags wants.
I think Nick Scorton, as far as edge, would be a guy that you can definitely, I think, get at 31. I know a lot of people like Shamar Stewart. Low production, though. High ceiling, low production.
I will say this. Shamar Stewart is a guy. He's very, very low production. He's sack and a half every year. He's a guy, though, that when you watch him, it's like that Senior Bowl made him a lot of money, the Senior Bowl practice week. And what you saw from an athletic standpoint, very high ceiling. So if they wanted to gamble on Shamar Stewart, I'd be willing to go out there and give him the benefit of the doubt there because he's an incredible athlete.
There's been a lot of second and third round with Landon Jackson, the guy out of Arkansas. It's about 280 pounds, 6'7".
Landon Jackson would be a Spags guy.
Like Jack Sawyer, again, Ohio State, if you can get past Ohio State. But it's a high character guy because he got on one of these group chats with all the Ohio State guys and said, hey, you guys need to come back. We got some unfinished business. And they did because they go out and they win the national title. But Mike Green out of Marshall, this is your diamond rough. This is a dude that's completely athletic that really shined at his pro day. He led the nation with 17 and a half sacks last year.
Yeah, he's another speed rush type, so he wouldn't be a fit for the Chiefs, but boy.
But I think he's early on. I think he's top 15.
Yeah, he's top 15, I think. But if he were to fall, I don't think the Chiefs would take him. But, man, he can get after it. I'll say this. He did have a good power rush attempt at the combine. I forgot who he ran over. It may have been Josh Connerly. I can't remember. But he went against somebody coming off of the left side of the line, and he literally just bull rushed dude straight onto his ass. It was hilarious to watch. Mike Green is I think, one of the more underrated guys in that first round range at edge rusher. I think if he'd have played at a Power 5 school, he might have been able. I mean, a Power 4, he might go ahead of Abdul Carter.
Unbelievable splits, unbelievable athletic. Probably the most athletic edge, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. I think he's an incredible talent.
6'4", about 250.
Yeah, like he's a speed guy, but man, you watch him and he immediately pops off. He's a guy you knew immediately watching him on film. Okay, that's an NFL guy.
Well, we addressed the Wylie Milam situation. It's a guy that's probably going to move from tackle to guard on the interior will be a place that he kind of goes. I still think it's defensive line, man. I mean, the more and more I think about a defensive line edge, I think that's truly where you can get value. And I hate to do it because I've been such an offensive guy. I just don't like the wide receiver talent that might be there at 31, unless a Luther Burden happens to fall, which I don't see that happening.
At this point now, after having really kind of thought about it, the only receiver I would feel comfortable at 31 is Burden, or if somehow Tetterell and McMillan. And though I don't think McMillan is a fit for what the Chiefs want, if he somehow fell to 31, I'd be like, man, screw your offense. Go get Tetterell and McMillan. But yeah, no, Burden's the only guy really I see that's reasonable at 31 that I would take.
And of course, from the 913, is there any interest in Kobe Bryant? Obviously, Kobe Bryant, Melo Dodson, outstanding corners for Kansas. 4.53 and 4.59, respectively, they ran at the combine. A little bit slower. I like them, to be honest with you. I like both, I like Kobe Bryant and I like Melo Dodson a lot. That speed kind of had me stepping back.
If you were to move Kobe Bryant back to safe, like free safety.
Safety speed.
I'd be cool with that. I don't think you could play in this defense playing press man coverage with over 4.5 speed. To me, that was the biggest thing that hurt Kamal Haddon. The fifth round pick that they took at corner out of Tennessee last year. The 4.5 speed really hurt him. And that was something that I thought, like, you watch him, he's big, he's physical, he can tackle, but he can't get after guys on the outside. And that's really what the Chiefs are needing right now, is to get some more outside corners. And the problem with and I was really excited about Dotson and Kobe Bryant going into the combine, because you watch them on film and like they brought everything you were looking for for a corner to potentially be in the Chiefs defense. And then you then see them at the combine and they don't have the speed to keep up with those guys. So yeah, if you're going to play him at corner, they're going to be off ball. They're going to be playing soft coverage. I think they're probably going to be more so, especially Kobe Bryant, playing zone and, you know, more in that two high cover three type defense style. Or Kobe moves to safety and plays safety. But I just, because of the speed, I think you probably move him. You probably move him to safety.
Interesting draft. Not wild about it. Not wild about a lot of the selections. Of course, it'll be next year. We have Arch Manning and crew in this draft. Quinn Ewers is the guy that's going to be a quarterback. That was a guy that we looked the year before thinking, all right, this guy could maybe, well, at least I did.
I was never a believer in Quinn Ewers, but you did at the beginning of 23, you did talk about him as a potential first round pick. But
I'm not a fan of these quarterbacks, except for Cam Ward. I've liked Cam Ward for 2 years.
Cam Ward you were talking about Cam Ward. He was at Washington State.
He played the Incarnate Word. Then he went to Washington State. Then Miami. Guy's been everywhere.
That's been your guy for a couple years now. So yeah, you definitely deserve credit on that one. I was sold on him by the end of his Washington State career, and then when he went to Miami, that first game they played against my Florida Gators, I was like, yeah, he's the best quarterback in this class.
He was all about Xavier Restrepo. That was the connection there. Now, if a team wants to draft, if the Titans do end up getting Cam Ward, and they want to take a stab later, Restrepo. Okay, I understand those two had a connection, obviously. Right.
Someone from the 913 asked if we think Walter Nolan will fall. I think
early 20s for Walter. I love Walter Nolan.
I think he's probably early 20s, but if he were to fall.
And I'll tell you this much, Brett Veach loves him being an SEC guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, 26. If the Rams answer the phone when you call them for a trade, do it. Like, if you can move up to 26 to get Nolan, because I think Nolan's going to be a problem as a pass rusher. I do. I think he's going to be a major problem as a pass rusher. I think Derek Harmon is going to be a more complete player because I think he's better against the run.
So as we sit right now, who's your draft crust in round one? Mine's Derek Harmon.
Round one, mine's is Walter Nolan.
Okay.
I
can't go wrong with either.
I say this. I think Harmon's the more complete player because I think he's better against the run. I think he could be very disruptive against the run. But Walter Nolan, to me, has the potential to be Chris Jones-like in the pass rush. Like, he's not quite the same kind of player because he's a guy that's going to be he's not a guy that you want getting doubles all the time. But
the good news is he gets double teamed a lot.
He gets double teamed a lot.
But the good news is Chris Jones is here, and Chris Jones does not mind teaching at all.
Right. And so he's going to have to learn how to go against doubles a little bit better, because that was kind of his kryptonite when he was at Ole Miss, was the doubles. But you get him one on one, like, he's going to be a problem. Every time he's going to be an issue. So I love Nolan, and I think that athleticism he brings to you is something that I covet a little bit more in the pass rush.
No question. Hey, Julio, we didn't ask you. Where are you going in round one? You've been quiet. I know that you.
It's a Kansas player, right?
You do stuff for the Chiefs, so you do stuff for them. But
yeah, he works for the Chiefs.
You don't want a Kansas player, do you? Maybe a Devin Neal later on, but from round one, you want defense, line, edge? What do you want?
I mean, we definitely need, I think, some defensive edge. But that far down, I don't know that you're going to get anything quality. I mean, I'd like to see Luther Burton slip and go that way.
Luther Burton. I know he's a Mizzou guy. I know he's a Mizzou guy, so it probably hurts you a little bit as a KU
fan. I will throw
fan.
My nachos
oh,
at their
oh,
landing
it hurts
if
me
that
a
happens.
Lot. It hurts me a lot, but hey, I think he's the best receiver in the draft.
816 is asking us about Matthew Golden. Again, he's one of those guys that you see the combine, the 4.29 speed, and you go back, okay, let's go back and look at some of these numbers and see what he did at Texas. And again, Gunnar Helm, the tight end, actually led that team. Who bad combine, by the way, Gunnar Helm did, because I really like Gunnar Helm.
Like I said, I'm concerned that Golden's a workout warrior. That concerns me a lot.
So we'll see what happens in that situation. But Luther Burden, I think, is the best slot receiver available in this draft. He's there. I 100%. Go and take him. We'll take a timeout, our final timeout of the day. We'll come back. We'll look at what kind of people are saying about the deepest positions in this year's draft.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, the Character Concerns Draft Special. Julio Sanchez producing. We're back again next Thursday. And don't forget, the week of the draft, the night of the draft, will be at the Landing in Liberty, where you can sign up with your picks. You go and do your picks right there for the first round. See who does best. You can win $965 and an autographed helmet from Juwan Taylor. Chris and I back a long show on Saturday. The Royals are very cooperative with their schedule, to be honest with you. It's been very cooperative. They have an afternoon game on Thursday. They don't play tonight on Saturday, so there's going to be a lot of draft coverage.
Yeah, that was the first thing when they put the schedule out. I was like, let me check the draft days. So yeah. I was very excited about
very,
that.
Very, very, very good schedule for the Kansas City Royals. They're back in action against Baltimore tomorrow night. They went 2-4 against Baltimore last year in the regular season. Of course, the postseason, they were 2-0. That's all that matters there. As far as the draft position groups, I think this actually plays out well for the Chiefs. Chris Trapasso on CBS, he ranked his. Number 11, he put offensive line, so dead last offensive line. He put linebacker at 10, quarterback at 9, tight end at 8, safety at 7. I'd actually put the tight ends ahead of that. He put running backs at 6. I would put the running backs much higher. Wide receiver, 5. Cornerback, 4. He put offensive tackle at 3, and he put edge rusher at 2, and he put defensive tackle at number 1.
He put offensive tackle
way too high. Way too high.
What?
And as far as the guy that I like better that does this is Lance Zierlein, of course, from NFL.com. I think he does a better job. That's... He's got edge defender number 1, running back number 2, interior defensive line 3, tight end 4, offensive tackle 5, wide receiver 6, cornerback 7th, tied with the interior offensive line. So when you're talking guards and stuff like that, then linebacker, quarterback, and then safety.
Any time the top like 3 or 4 offensive tackles people are split on whether or not they're even going to be tackles.
But like Tyler Booker of Alabama, interior offensive line. Okay, I can buy that
one. Yeah, I could buy that. But like offensive, even top 5 doesn't make any sense. Because to me, you can make, there's multiple teams out there that think the top 4 tackles in this class are going to have to move inside to guard. And I think at least 2 of the top 4 are going to have to move inside to guard. That's not a top 5 class of the positions. That's not top 5.
But Zierlein had the edge rushers 1, running backs 2. I think that's maybe a tad high for the running backs. I'd put defensive line there in front of them.
I think you could make a case for running backs over, because I think it's defensive tackle 1, running back 2, edge rusher 3.
I'd go edge 1, defensive line 2, running backs 3.
Because I think
3.
This is a great defensive. Like this defensive tackle class is one that, like,
that'd be my 2.
If that's my number 1, because not only can you get some really, really strong guys in the first round, but like the guys you can get day 2, some of those guys might be like you would think would be first round picks in other classes. Like there are guys on day 2, probably going to go day 2 that you would like, I'd be looking at as like that guy's probably going to go in, would go in the 20s in the last few years. So, yeah, I love the defensive tackle.
And the way it's set up on our mock draft that we did, we'll do another one 2.0 this Monday. We'll release it on Tuesday in the podcast portion on character concerns. We had 2 receivers going, had Zachariah Franklin in the 7th and had Isaiah Bond earlier on for the Chiefs. Right. Did a top 30 visit with the Chiefs. You can get value, I think, at receiver in the mid rounds. I would definitely get 2 of them.
Yeah.
But as far as running backs, I'm definitely getting 1 early. Definitely. Yeah, 100%. Too good of a class.
Day 2.
Good of a class.
Day 2, go get you a running back.
It actually works. These position groups actually work out well for the Chiefs. It's kind of funny how that works.
Yeah, it's working out for them.
It actually works out just fine.
It's working out. You're able to get exactly what you need this year in the draft.
100%. Julio Sanchez, thank you much for producing.
Great work, Julio.
Kristen Osero and I will do the podcast in character concerns on Monday, released on Tuesday. We'll do Chiefs Mock 2.0. Save your questions. Just hit us up throughout the week on Twitter. We'll, of course, address them on the text line as well next Thursday night. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs joins us. Good night, everybody. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
And forth between the Grizzlies and the Heat. Tyler Hero tied the game with 13.8 seconds left. and Ja Morant just called game with a buzzer beater. The Grizzlies win it 110-108. Morant ended with 30 points. Tyler Hero ended with 35 points and 9 rebounds. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 35 points, 17 rebounds, and 20 assists as the Bucks outscored the 76ers 126-113. Paolo Banchero dropped 33 points to go along with 18 rebounds and 8 assists as the Magic topped the Wizards 109-97. The Timberwolves, they outscored the Nets 105-90. In Major League Baseball, the Brewers shut out the Reds once again 1-0. The Reds have gone 3 games being shut out in a row. The Yankees are holding on to their lead over the Diamondbacks. They are up right now 9-7. It's the bottom of the 8th inning in the Bronx. I'm Monty Bolaños.
This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
You ready?
The MLB is back.
You know, it's my favorite time of year.
Or another